Welcome to WrestleBlaze, Game Spot's wrestling podcast filled with wrestling, friendship, and wrestling with friendship. I am your host, Matt Alfring. With me, as always, is the light of my life, Dark Order member Chris Hayner. Hi, Chris.
Join the Dark Order, Matt. Join darkorder.com. The light of your life.
Sorry, my son and wife.
I know, man. You're a family man, but like, look, I get it. I am pretty cool. I have great hair. I recently traveled to Las Vegas, Nevada. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a cool, hip, happening dude.
And I'm Nick Cage in The Family Man. I mean, that's just how it is.
I've never seen that Nicolas Cage film.
Art. I'm sure it was art.
Cinema.
Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode of Chris and I drinking from earlier this week. We had already been drinking.
Just the slightly tipsy ramblings of two dudes who are afraid of what's about to happen to AEW.
Or not afraid. I don't know at this point.
I don't know. Like, it's whatever. Like, do whatever. We're going to watch it. We're going to see what's going on.
We're not the wrestling fans who are like, this is stupid. I'm not going to watch it. And then you secretly watch it. I'm going to say this is stupid, but I'll probably watch it because.
I listened because I honestly forgot about all of it. I forgot that I ranted so much about the founding of PWG.
Yep.
But like, I feel like we make it clear. It's like, listen, they're going to play Cult of Personality. We're going to freak out. It's going to be amazing. But like, what matters is what's going on 1 month later.
That's true, but that's not what we're talking about this week,
Chris. No, it's SummerSlam week, Matt.
We made it.
It's the biggest party of the summer, and it's all going down inside of a stadium in Las Vegas that neither you or I will be anywhere near.
We very much said we are not going. We were also denied going just in general. We were told, no, you guys should not go. And then I thought about it and I go, oh, yeah, there is still
you're probably right. Yeah.
Yeah. Still coronavirus out there.
And this was before the Delta variant like came in and ruined all of our lives. And now it's like, oh, what great foresight everyone who's not us had to say, maybe this isn't a great idea.
Because you and I are just like, Chris and Matt can hang out in public together again.
Finally.
Yeah.
We could finally record an episode of Wrestle Buddies in the same room. What? But like, cut to now, if we had agreed to go and it was now, I would feel very weird about going.
I would actually be canceling, I think.
Yeah.
But also, it's my buddy's baby shower this weekend, so I can't miss that.
Are you saying it's almost as if this friend of yours is also the light of your life?
No, it's just an old bandmate that I've been friends with for like 20 years. Like, I can't miss like his and his wife's baby shower, you know?
Right.
I was a groomsman at his wedding.
Okay.
I got very drunk at his wedding.
I was in Las Vegas this last week for a wedding. My brother's wedding. My little brother's wedding. My little brother got hitched. And Friday night, I took him and his new wife out and we had some drinks. And I'll tell you what. It was nice. I found a Canadian bar that served Canadian beers on tap.
Oh, did you get some of that Molson?
I had some Molson Canadian. They had Labatt's Blue. They had Le Fin du Monde. They did not have Alexander Keith's, the Canadian-based IPA I mentioned during our wine friendship episode.
During the episode we'll never do again, us drinking.
I did finish the bottle of Undertaker wine while I was in Las Vegas. I took it with me. I kept it in my hotel room because my hotel room, like, I stayed at a fairly nice hotel, so I had like a fridge and whatnot in my hotel room, so I kept it in there. And they took all the glassware out of the hotel room before I got there for some reason. I'm assuming that's a COVID thing where they're like only using disposable cups and whatnot.
Okay.
So I definitely drank Undertaker wine the way it was meant to be drank, out of a paper coffee cup.
Oh,
I'm a fancy classy boy. Fancy boy.
Speaking of fancy, we got a fancy SummerSlam episode. Chris, tell us what's coming up.
Ooh, Matt. Well, first, you know what? Usually you start with an appetizer and then you get to the entree. We're giving you the entree up front and then we're going to hit you with some dessert. That's what we're doing this week. First up, Matt and I had the amazing honor of speaking with Raw Women's Champion Nikki ASH, which stands for Almost Superhero, about winning the title, about winning Money in the Bank in front of a crowd for the first time in a year, about going into SummerSlam, fighting Rhea Ripley and Charlotte to maintain that title. We hit so many topics. It was such a fun conversation. And honestly, Matt, I think the people are going to love it because we loved Nikki Cross going in.
Yes,
we did. Coming out of this, I am a Nikki ASH super fan.
I feel like she's doing something that I wish WWE would do more, which is whether or not you like the superhero gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
She's reaching a new market with younger demographic. I'm not saying that WWE should be only for the kiddies. I think you can have it be very broad. But you need younger viewers to make a new generation of fans for wrestling. You really, really do right now.
Well, she's kind of emblematic of something WWE doing right now that I find really interesting that I've sort of been figuring out over the past couple of weeks. She is, yes, hitting that younger audience, while there are other parts of the product that are hitting a more mature audience. I don't know if you noticed this, Matt, since going back in front of the live crowd, there's been a bit more cursing language in WWE programming.
There's been a little bit more.
Bill Goldberg said the BS word. I don't know if you heard that last night on Raw.
Oh, let me tell you about Raw, watching Raw last night. It was terrible. Raw is been not great. Nikki ASH is the only ASH is the only thing that I'm really, really digging on Raw. Mm-hmm. Like SmackDown's another story. If you see me tweeting on Fridays, it's mostly about how much I love what is happening with Baron Corbin. I think it's complete genius.
Yes. This is the best I've ever liked Baron Corbin.
Yeah, it's so good. Everything on SmackDown is so good. Everything on Raw right now, not everything, almost everything on Raw is very, very rough. And
you know what? Let's save that conversation.
Because
we'll have a lot more to say about what's going on in SmackDown versus what's going on Raw in our second segment tonight, which will be we're gonna hit you some SummerSlam predictions. So after we talk to Nikki ASH about her upcoming SummerSlam match, we're going to hit you with predictions for the entire dang show, because there are a lot of matches and we have many, many feels.
And obviously, guys, as you know, with predictions, that means it's the return of our sophisticated AI machine.
The SmackDown Hacker.
No, Prediction Bot 3000.
Oh, boy.
SmackDown Hacker's still gone. We haven't seen him in for a long time.
He'll be back.
Anyway, prepare yourselves and enjoy our interview with Nikki ASH, the Raw Women's Champion. And I think the most bubbly and fun person we have talked to in a long time.
Forever.
Nikki, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. I'm on pretty much cloud nine from the last few weeks. And thanks for having me, guys. Mm-hmm. But yeah, things are going good. How are you guys?
Fantastic. And you mentioned the last few weeks. I'm just going to jump right to it. First of all, congratulations on winning Money in the Bank. Yes. And going on and becoming Raw Women's Champion. That's amazing.
thank you.
But for you, I want to go back to Money in the Bank. What's that moment like? You guys are finally back in front of a crowd. You're standing on top of the ladder with the briefcase in your hand, just surrounded by screaming fans after so long.
I burst out in tears on top of that ladder. So I I did the thing where I kind of scurried up everyone, superhero powers, scurrying up really quickly, grabbed the contract, got celebrated up the ramp and climbed the ladder. And I just remember looking out to the live crowd and looked at the contract, looked at the live crowd and on top of the ladder. Legit, I was feeling on top of the world. And I just these happy tears and just thinking over the last 13 years for me and just this incredible journey, which has been I'm so grateful for everything. And I just started, these happy tears, and it was just oh my goodness. And then I can't describe the feeling. It's amazing. I don't know, I'm blown away. And then the next night it was this, and people were like, oh, those 48 hours must have been insane. I was like, those 24 hours, to win the Money in the Bank contract itself was such a huge achievement and a huge moment. And then we followed up the next night on Monday Night Raw. So
how many people can say, like, in their careers, they had like two huge landmark milestones within a 24-hour period? Like, that's just got to be to you the most, like, how do you process all of that, like, amazement, I guess?
I'm not sure you do process it. Like, I think, you know, I was really, I was so blown away, just the messages from everyone. Like, I felt people who I hadn't seen in years, people who I worked with in Scotland, all over the world, it felt like so many people reached out to me, and it was such a humbling experience, because you're like, whoa, like, oh man, like, oh, it makes you feel very, like, it's humbling. And then to be a part of that list, you know, to have those kind of landmark achievements side by side. And it's just, I don't think you process it, like, not in a normal way. Like, you just take it and you just, and I just think of, like, okay, who helped me get here? And I've got the most amazing family, most amazing husband, most amazing, you know, support group with my friends. And I'm like, and I think of my mentors over the years, and I'm like, there's so many people that helped me achieve this. So I kind of feel like this is mine, you know, this is mine. Like, the championship. But I also, I'm representing all the people that helped me along the way. And I think that's just, I don't think you process that. I think you enjoy the ride, and you take every second, and you really appreciate every second. I don't think you process it.
You've been undergoing this really fun character transformation as Nikki A.S.H. You're almost a superhero. We're rooting for you to get the full superhero status. What drove that for you and made you want to explore this new side of your character?
I always loved superhero movies and TV shows. I was obsessed with the X-Men cartoon from the 90s. You know, you know, I loved Jubilee and Rogue and Storm. You know, I loved the X-Men. I loved the Spider-Man cartoon, and massive Marvel and DC fan, you know, and all their movies and TV shows. And, you know, Jessica Jones was another one. The Boys, I love The Boys, you know. So there's just, The Boys was like, you know, that I absolutely, I adore that show. And I was like, oh man, so that's The Boy, that's okay. How do we bring that into 2021? How do we make it relatable for our WWE universe? How do we use this to connect with our younger fans? How do we use this to connect with our older fans? What can we do? Because that's what WWE does. It connects, it brings people together. When our live events and families come and watch us, it's like, we bring people together, and so do superheroes. You know, like, you go to the cinema with your friends, you go watch to your friend's house and watch a Marvel or a DC movie. How do we merge all of this? What do we do? How do we do it? And then it turned into this 6-month process where we're creating something awesome. And it was amazing teamwork from so many different teams in WWE and myself. And it was this wonderful collaboration. And when it came to life, it was like so satisfying and fulfilling, because I was like, yes, you know, when I came up with that, when, you know, when everything all came about, and it was like, I had an artist draw up the cartoon. I was like, okay, can we do this? Like, draw Nikki Cross as a cartoon superhero, just to get the visual down. And that was like a concept art. And I commissioned the artist to do that, you know, so it was that. And then it was like, being even Supergirl as well. Supergirl was another, you know, her message is like about hope and believing people can do better and be good. And there's a lot of tie-ins with Wonder Woman there as well. So I think that it was just the timing, you know. I just, the Royal Rumble was finished. That was January. So it was the day after Royal Rumble. And it's just really, it was just a 6-month labor of love, this project of like love, and everyone came together, and I'm so proud of it.
Speaking of everybody came together, were you able to get any superhero pointers from the Hurricane?
Hurricane's been amazing. Like, I want, you know, I really want everyone to know that. Like, I want everyone to know, like, the Hurricane has been so supportive and absolutely, and I've told this to Shane Helms a bunch. You know, I want everyone to know, like, how awesome he has been to me. Just in terms of, you know, I've picked his brain, he's given me advice, he's given me support. When I won the Raw Women's Championship, when I debuted the character, he was one of the first people I saw in Gorilla, you know, waiting there with a big hug, you know. So hopefully I'm making him proud. And I want people to know how incredible he's been.
I think you are, because like I follow him on Twitter. A lot of us follow him on Twitter, and he just seems to be such a great cheerleader for you and just for wrestling in general, which is I guess great during kind of a downtime in the world.
He's always the guy to, like, you know, try and make you laugh, and he always he always tries to make people laugh, and he's so positive, and he always is very down to earth as well. So, like, you know, it's just, it's been great to not just pick his brain about the superhero character, almost a superhero character, and just about the wrestling industry, and, you know. And I think that those lessons carry over to life as well. You know, so I'm very fortunate to have him in my corner.
Well, now looking ahead, obviously we have SummerSlam, and you have, for an almost superhero, a pretty big challenge ahead of you. As you're looking at, like, obviously you've now faced and beat Charlotte in a very, just a wicked, wicked match on Raw. Rhea Ripley is another formidable foe. As you're going into this match, is of the two of them, who do you think is the bigger challenge?
The both of them, like, you know, you've said that the both of them, you know, they're both formidable. They're both powerful. I'm going into this match as I'm the Raw Women's Champion, and I'm also going in as the underdog because I'm the smaller competitor. So I'm going to be using so many, like, other techniques because I can't rely on my power, even though I'm, like, you know, strong and always in my gym doing superhero training. They are both powerful, formidable women. So I need to rely more on speed and agility and, you know, pinning combinations like, you know, Black Widow's busting out, or, you know, Rogue from X-Men. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're both, this is the biggest challenge I'm going to face in my career. This is the biggest challenge so far of being the Raw Women's Champion. And both of them are formidable, and I think that people are in for a treat at SummerSlam, because I have every intention of walking out of SummerSlam as the Raw Women's Champion still. And I have a lot, I'm really proud to defend my championship at such a big stage. It's the biggest party of the summer, you know, the biggest party of the year. So I'm excited. I have butterflies, pardon the pun. let's go. We've got a triple threat match. And I think the fans will be, I think it's a great match for the fans too, and for me.
I was gonna say, if you successfully defend the title at SummerSlam, do you think at that point you would level up and become Nikki Total Superhero?
So that the almost superhero, what it comes from is, when you think of Captain America, when you think of Steve Rogers, okay, so before he got the super serum, he already had the heart of a superhero. He would stand up to the bullies. He would stand up for himself. He could do this all day, you know. Black Widow didn't have any powers, but she was the best trained fighter in the world. You know, some of the superheroes have, like, special rings, or, you know, magic cape, or, you know, the whole idea with being almost a superhero is, like, I don't have any special powers. You know, I don't have super serum. But it's the moral compass, okay? Because that's what really separates a supervillain from a superhero. It's that moral compass. So for me, I've got all the drive and the hope and the persistence and the love of a superhero like Wonder Woman or Captain Marvel. But I just don't, you know, I'm not going to have any super serum or magical superpowers. So to me, it's the emotion of it. It's the heart of it. That's what makes it almost a superhero, because, you know, I'm not going to have a super serum, you know. But it's that, to me, that's what almost a superhero, that's what it means. You know, it's, I have all the same qualities and values. I just don't have I'm not able to fly, basically. Although if you watch,
I mean, but fingers crossed, like, I would love to be able to fly.
You know, if you watch me on Monday Night Raw, I've shown that I can fly for at least 1 or 2 seconds with a big cross body.
That counts. I think that absolutely counts.
Well, that counts. But to me, that's what almost a superhero means. Like, it's more about having the same qualities as a Captain America, having the same values as Wonder Woman. I just don't have their superpowers.
That makes perfect sense to me. Well, then looking beyond SummerSlam, obviously the landscape of women's wrestling in WWE is, it's mind blowing. There are so, like, it's such a packed roster of incredibly talented people. Now that you are the Raw Women's Champion, you are essentially the person at the top of that mountain. Who else are you looking forward to meeting in the ring?
To everything you just said, we have such an amazing women's division, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, NXT UK. So for me, like, as a defending champion, as a defending almost superhero, I want to defend against everyone. And there's so many matches that excite me. Like, for instance, one of my favorite matches of my career was a live event with Tamina in San Diego. You know, it was a live event. It was one of my favorite matches of my career. So I would love to mix it up with Tamina. I would love to mix it up with competitors like Mia Yim. I would love to compete against, you know, you've got Naomi, you've got Liv Morgan, you've got Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax, you've got, because every hero needs a villain. So someone like Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax is perfect. You've got a story there with Alexa Bliss, my former tag team partner. You've got Eva Marie and Doudrop. You know, Doudrop is someone, we went to the same wrestling school in Scotland. You know, we both started like within a couple of weeks apart. So we both had this 13-year journey and our journeys have been very different. But we've both ended up on WWE Monday Night Raw. So that's so, so cool to me. And it's like, okay. And then you've got the X Factor of Eva Marie. So it's like, oh, let's do this. You know, like that. So those, not to give you the cop-out answer, not give you one definitive answer. There's so many. And then you've got Becky Lynch, you know, like.
Oh, man.
That's another match, which like, I'm like, I would embrace and welcome that challenge, you know, and I think that we're in for an exciting ride and we just need to buckle up.
I do want to say thank you for shouting out Tamina. I love Tamina so much and have for so long. And to see her like now getting that chance to shine like as a women's tag team champion, like, oh my gosh, it's exciting to watch people, especially newer fans, get exposed to who Tamina is and what Tamina can do in the ring. Like, oh, it's just such a joy to watch.
I agree. Like her and Natalya, they are amazing WWE Women's Tag Team division. And I think because of my, you know, I'm a former two-time Women's Tag Team champion with Alexa, you know, for me, like, I have a special place in my heart for those tag team championships because they meant so much to my career. So for me, like, seeing the way Natalya and Tamina, like, they represent that division, the division so perfectly, and they're amazing competitors, and I'm so happy for them. So happy. So it's great.
Awesome. Throughout your career within WWE, you know, you were teamed with Alexa Bliss, you're doing Nikki ASH now, you were Insanity. For you, you played a variety of different characters. What's been the most fun for you?
I think we're representing so much with the Nikki ASH character, and what we're doing, I think it's important. I really think it's important, and that's been really fun to play. And I think I loved how it caught people off guard and it surprised people. And then the Nikki Sanity character did the exact same, because on the independent scene, it was Nikki. You know, I was like almost like a supervillain on the independents. I had a microphone and I was just this really loud-mouthed, deluded, funny character on the independent scene. Go to WWE and I'm Nikki Sanity. We're a little bit chaotic, a little bit unpredictable, wild, and that was so much fun. And getting to work with Sanity, my husband, with my best friend, like someone who's been, you know, mentor to me and like an uncle, you know, with Eric Young and Alexander Wolf and my husband Killian Dane, Damo Mako. It's like, so for me, like, I was so lucky and fortunate to be able to learn from those guys, and I'm so grateful. And that was so much fun because it was like this dysfunctional, wild family running rocket in NXT, and it was really fun. With Nikki ASH, I think it was really, really, really important what we're doing. And I'm able to be like, you know, embrace my love of superhero movies and TV shows and kind of mix that with my love of wrestling and my love for the WWE fans. And I get to mix all of that together. So that, you know, it's, and but then I think the team with Alexa Bliss, that was a fun dynamic of me being, you know, this wild, like the little ball of energy, and Alexa's so calm and collected, and you've got these polar opposites who are similar in some ways with, in terms of, you know, just wanting, you know, wanting the best stories and, you know, putting out the best performances. So I think, you know, we had a lot in common, and but we were also opposites attract and the kind of oddball tag team. So I think like the all the stages and all the layers of Nikki over the last 5 years has been really fun. And it's hard to kind of pinpoint one, but I think what we're doing right now and the message that we're sending to people about being good to one another and picking yourself up if you fall down, and just, you know, you always try and keep believing in yourself and believe in your power. Like, I think that's a really, really important message. So I think what I'm doing right now is probably like, this is probably the most satisfied and most fulfilled, but it's been an incredible ride for all those reasons that I've just said.
Well, thank you, Nikki, so much for talking to us. We are very excited for your match at SummerSlam against Rhea Ripley and Charlotte on August 21st.
We think you're going to win.
I think you're going to win. I want you to win.
Almost a superhero.
yeah, who roots against the hero? Like, no, but you don't root against the hero unless you're a crazy person.
Appreciate your guys' support, and I hope to do you both proud in my triple threat match at SummerSlam.
Thank you, Nikki AASH, for coming on the show, talking to us. She had a green screen behind her, which a part of me is like, oh man, can you get closer to the green screen so I can like put you in space or something?
Ooh. But she did have the Raw Women's Championship with her. She was out of, listen, we don't want to blow up her spot.
Yeah.
She was not in her superhero costume, so we saw
her. I was so confused identity. For a second.
She did offer to go put the mask on for us, but we were fine without it. I think we're fine.
Listen, I love when we do interviews and the wrestler is like super duper into character, depending on the character.
Dalton Castle.
Oh, you are a wonderful
person.
Dalton
Castle remains my favorite human being, maybe ever, because of that interview.
But I like talking to like the real people behind that, because like there are a lot of feelings and emotions that go into wrestling that maybe that character can't talk about. I mean, like Nikki had a insane 24-hour period of like winning Money in the Bank and then cashing in the next night. Like that is crazy. I want to know like how she feels about that. Not Nikki ASH, the almost superhero, but, you know, the person behind the mask. Yeah.
Don't reveal her identity.
Anyway, let's move on. It is time to talk about SummerSlam. Ladies and gentlemen, SummerSlam is happening on a Saturday. First off,
what?
Weird.
It's weird.
I don't like it.
Weird.
Saturday is for my family and friends, and I am missing my Saturday night.
I mean, if it's for your family and your friends and you're hanging out with the light of your life, we're doing okay.
You're the light of my life.
I light up your life.
Disclaimer, at this point in time, SmackDown has not aired, obviously.
It's true.
Which means there could still
Because you're listening to this before Friday, so of course it hasn't aired.
It's true. But we have a up-to-date match card as of August 17th. We'll be going through 10 of the matches here.
Ooh.
And let's just get right into it. Recently booked AJ Styles and Omos, defending their Raw Tag Team Championships against RK-Bro.
I'm sorry, AJ Styles and who?
Omos.
Who's that?
Amos. Almost.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Tall man.
Omos? Are you talking about Omos?
God, I'm so bad at that every time. I phonetically try to pronounce it every single time, and I cannot get it in my head that's Omos.
It's okay. Half of the people on WWE programming also seem to forget it, to the point where like maybe it's not Omos and it is Omos, and like who knows? He doesn't ever say his name.
My son can't pronounce AJ Styles' name. He calls him AJ Smiles, which I will not correct.
I mean, that should be his name.
He does. He never smiles anymore, though.
It's true.
Anyway, if you caught Raw on the 16th of August, it opened up with a long segment about Randy Orton and Matt Riddle, and then AJ Styles and Omos, and then the episode closed with them fighting each other. And I'm just,
Matt,
I don't care.
Here's the thing about RK-Bro. When Randy Orton returned last week from vacation or whatever he's been doing for the past month or two.
Growing facial hair.
Yeah, growing a sick mustache. Mm-hmm. He told Riddle, like, look, RK-Bro was a great team. And I was like, what are you talking about? No, it wasn't. RK-Bro wasn't a team. You guys tagged a few times and you didn't RKO him in that moment. That was it. That's it. Look, realistically, RK-Bro is probably going to win this match.
Can have it on a real tag team?
Well, they're not a real tag team.
I mean, it's more of a real tag team than AJ Styles and Omos.
I would highly disagree at this point. AJ Styles and Omos have been working together for months now.
Yeah.
RK-Bro just have a stupid name that Matt Riddle won't stop saying. Like, I don't think RK-Bro is entertaining, but also, this goes to sort of a deeper thing. Randy Orton is so stale.
Yes.
I thought, like, I'm dying for him to go away for a couple months and come back with something newer than a mustache. Like, change something about your character.
I'll admit this. Randy Orton, I am not a fan, whatsoever. Great technician in the ring. For a WWE wrestler, and also like good on a mic. I mean, he's not interesting to me, but like
on paper, he can give a great promo and he can wrestle a really good match. But like the character is old.
Yes, very.
It has never changed.
But he hears voices in his head.
They talk to him.
And I guess Matt Riddle is over with the audience, which I thought he would not be when the live audience comes back because it's a dumb gimmick. It's just him, which I didn't like him in an MMA. So
I do not enjoy. I do not enjoy Matt Riddle. Whatever. They're going to win it. Like maybe they'll have to work with a regular tag team. The tag division on Raw is so sad, but like the tag division in WWE is so sad at this point.
I don't know. The Usos, the Mysterios, the New Day. Okay, cool.
There's exactly two teams on SmackDown.
I said the New Day as well.
The New Day is on Raw and they're not.
I'm terrible.
And they're not booked on the pay-per-view at all. Like what's going on? Send the New Day back to SmackDown for crying out loud.
Anyways, I'm just going to say RK-Bro wins. I don't have.
Me too. I don't have anything invested in either of these teams and I don't care.
Yeah. Prediction about 3000. What are your thoughts on this?
I love RK-Bro. They will win. God.
Oh, that's it.
Why does he love them?
He loves RK-Bro.
Nobody loves RK-Bro.
It loves RK-Bro. They're going to win.
Nobody loves RK-Bro.
Anyway, moving on. Alexa Bliss versus Eva Marie.
Alexa Bliss. Next. Here's the thing. Whereas you are a huge, I too am a Becky Lynch super fan. I love Becky Lynch. Your love of Becky Lynch is on a whole other level than mine, though, I feel.
Okay.
That is how I feel about Alexa Bliss. I have been so super pro Alexa Bliss since she debuted in NXT, talking about like sparkles and fairy dust and magic and pixies. Like I found that character very engaging because she is a very, very small person, but like she fights like a big person.
Yes.
She's very short. I think she said she's 5 feet tall because her whole thing was 5 feet of fury.
Yes.
But like she fights with the presence of like a 7 foot tall human being.
Yeah.
She comes for you and she doesn't care and she will destroy you. I love Alexa Bliss. I'm ready for this whole no longer Bray Wyatt thing to sort of start phasing out. She can still keep like a more gothy look and edge to her character. But like the Alexis Playground thing, the doll Lily, like that, none of that really does it for me.
I was going to say it did something for me when there was the idea that Bray Wyatt could come back and we could see Bray Wyatt and Alexa Bliss together. That's why I thought it worked for that time being. But when Bray Wyatt was off TV for so long, I was like, this isn't working for me because there's no attachment to It just becomes super derivative at that point. No offense to Alexa. She did an amazing job with what she had been given, but it just wasn't working for me at that point.
Yeah. It's run its course. It's run its course.
Yeah.
And we don't need it.
I'm also Alexa Bliss on this. I know Eva Marie's getting a big push, but it doesn't make sense.
I feel like she was getting a huge push when they were like, the evolution is coming. And I was like, oh, gag me with a spoon. But like, since she's come back, I feel like it's been so lackluster that like it's been lackluster in only a way Eva Marie stuff can be.
Well, we can't bury Alexa Bliss any more than she's already been kind of buried the past month. So
also Doudrop will probably be involved, but like
yeah. Anyway, prediction about 3000. What do you think?
All red everything. Eva Marie for life.
All red everything.
Her hair's not even red anymore. That doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't at all.
I'm so sick of what?
Dude, prediction about, do you even pay attention?
All pink everything. Okay. Eva Marie for life.
That doesn't, all pink everything doesn't have the same flow as all red everything.
I hate you, prediction bot.
All right, here we go. Battle of the former three-man band members, Drew McIntyre versus Jinder Mahal.
Matt, I noticed a typo in your listing for this match. It is Jinder Mahal versus Drew McIntyre and his murder sword, Angela. Okay. I know when Drew wouldn't stop feuding with Bobby Lashley, I was like, Drew has gotten stale and boring. He needs to like move away from the world title picture and change something about his character. I did not mean he should start threatening to murder everyone with a giant sword.
No.
That is not what I meant. It is stupid. It is not believable. Also, he does the thing where he walks out, he drops the sword in the stone and all the fire explodes, and then he just takes the sword back out to walk to the ring with it. It's dumb. It's dumb. I hate it. I hate it, Matt. I think it's stupid. I hate it.
Chris, I understand that. I'm excited.
You love it, don't you? You love the sword thing, don't you?
No, not at all. I actually don't like it.
Okay.
I'm excited that it's like, it's two guys who were in three-man band, 3MB, who got let go from WWE, and then they came back super muscly.
And the one guy who is no longer with WWE from three-man band is the one who survived that round of firings.
But now is no longer.
They should bring in Heath Slater to be the referee of this match.
And he should also be super muscly.
Also, who are Jinder Mahal's seconds in this match? Is Shanky and I forget the other guys.
I do not know their names, but they survived the round of firings recently.
Here's the thing. Those are some jack dudes. Jinder Mahal is a jack dude. Yes. I would love to see them spotlighted in a way that doesn't make them look stupid. This makes them look stupid. They're just fighting a man with a sword.
I'm not done yet.
Makes Drew McIntyre look weak and silly that like the only way he can defend himself is with a giant sword that we know he's not going to use because that would literally be murder. Like he was holding it up as if he was going to run Jinder Mahal through with the sword. On live television, he was going to murder this man. I hate when WWE does this stuff where it's like there's a level of suspension of disbelief, like when Sting shows up with a bat and he swings at you, or when Triple H has the sledgehammer, but he doesn't swing it like a sledgehammer. Instead, he just puts his arm over it and like nudges you with it because it looks painful. This is a sword, for crying out loud. It has one purpose: to stab you to death.
Brian Pillman has a gun in his house. Will he use it?
Oh, God. I hate it so much. And I'm
I don't like it when it's a weapon that you can't really show being used as a weapon on TV. Like Scott Hall in a cattle prod was about as far as you can go with that. Because I think that was a real cattle prod, was it? Or it did not electrocute. That means death. Idea. It did shock people.
I have
no anyway, idea. I'm going Jinder Mahal because, guys, I like Jinder Mahal.
Don't hinder gender.
Nope. Chris, who are you going with?
Drew McIntyre, I guess.
All right, prediction.
Again, I don't care. Feud is stupid. Like, make feuds, we're three matches deep now, and it's three feuds I don't care about, even though
one of those feuds has AJ Styles, one of the greatest wrestlers in the business today, and one of these feuds has Alexa Bliss, who is incredible.
Yeah. Prediction about 3,000, what are you at?
A wise man once said, you cannot hinder the Jinder. Because of this, Jinder Mahal will win. In a perfect world, this match would end with the return of Heath Slater, who also got all the muscle during his absence from WWE. Slater would take out his air guitar and bash it over Mahal and McIntyre's heads. Slater will then reveal his new three-man band. Joining him will be Cameron Grimes and Kushida.
Wow. That's like some really solid, like, raw writing right there.
Okay. He's going to hit them with his air guitar?
Yeah, that's some DDT type stuff.
And then Kushida and Cameron Grimes are going to join his new three-man band?
Yeah, Chris, are you into this? Because this sounds awesome.
This sounds pretty good. I don't like that Prediction Bot refers to him as Jinder Mahal.
Jinder Mahal. It sounds a little raunchy. I don't like it.
Sounds kind of gross, but whatever.
Moving on. Here we go. Another Raw match. Oh, God. I just want to get through these Raw matches.
We're getting there. Hold on. Wait, where are... Oh, you know what? This is the one I'm kind of looking forward to. Go for
Sheamus and Damian Priest for the United States Championship.
This is actually broken. What did they call it? Smoke and Mirrors, Cody Rhodes version of Sheamus?
Yes, because he has the mask over his face.
Yeah. I love that. I love that Sheamus's gimmick has just become like, what else can I wear?
This week I got a hat and a coat.
He's got the hat, the coat, like the white tank top. Now he's got the facial appliance, the Undertaker mask, Cody Rhodes mask thing for his broken face, I guess. I've said this before and I'll say it again. He looks like a background player in Snatch.
Chris, I'm going to admit something. Before the mask, I thought Sheamus looked pretty cool with the hat and the jacket.
Matt, same.
Okay,
I wished he didn't just wear it backstage, but like that was also his ring attire. Because when he comes to the ring for a match, he's just wearing regular trunks and his big dumb necklace and everything. And it's not that entertaining to me.
No,
like, I love backstage Sheamus with the fedora and the big gigantic coat. They were filming that in Florida. Do you know how hot it must have been under that coat? Good lord.
Because he gets in the ring and it's just 2009 Sheamus again.
Yeah.
Or 2012 or whatever.
At least when he had the mohawk and everything, it was a bit different. Like, that was cool. I miss mohawk Sheamus, if I'm being honest with you.
Or he was in the bar, he had a different outfit.
Yeah, lots of kilts. Lots of camouflage kilts in the bar. I wish he would do the whole jacket, pants, fedora thing on en route to the ring. I'm glad they're doing something with Damian Priest.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that he is still somehow tied to The Miz and Morrison.
Why can't that end?
I mean, for Bad Bunny, it ended months ago.
I know.
Remember Bad Bunny?
That was great. Loved Bad Bunny. Why can't The Miz and Morrison feud so they can do their own thing on the side and then Damian Priest cannot be involved in any sort of way?
I think Damian Priest should have left to go on tour with Bad Bunny instead of sticking around. Continue to fight The Miz and Morrison.
I guess I'll just go.
Also, like I know that, like, there's been like rumors that like The Miz is legit injured. I don't. He's kind of back now. I miss him on his own. I think I understand he's having a good time with John Morrison. Mm-hmm. But like it is in my mind decreased his stock as a draw so much.
I mean, to me, the Miz's height for me is when he was Intercontinental Champion. I think that he also had like Bo Dallas and Kurt Hennig with him at that time, too.
They were the Miztourage.
But even before that, as like he made me really love.
He was WWE champion, defended successfully at the main event of WrestleMania.
Yeah,
that was the Miz did that. He beat John Cena in the main event of WrestleMania.
I know some people are going to say, and I would also mildly agree with you on this, not you, Chris, but other people, that he'd also be at his height with Damian Sandow or Damian Mizdow, which was brilliant at the time. I love that. But that's Damian Sandow's height to me. Like, the Miz's height is really when he was like, he made the IC championship like worth something.
I took GameSpot's Michael Rougeau to his very first wrestling show, and it was a WWE holiday house show at the Staples Center. And it was during the Mizdow era. Mm-hmm. And Mike was blown away. Like, this guy was just doing all the moves outside the ring. Yes. I was like, I know, wrestling is good. Like, wrestling can be bad, but like, it's also so good in the weirdest ways.
Anyway, I'm going to say Damian Priest, whatever.
I want to go Priest. I think Sheamus is going to pull this out.
Prediction about 3,000.
In a brutal battle between Sheamus and Damian Punishment Martin as Priest, Sheamus is about to give Priest a brogue kick, and he screams to the fans. Filler, however, as he goes to kick Priest, both men realize they have a lot more in common with each other and decide talking out their problems is a better way to settle their differences. Additionally, Sheamus vacates the title in order to become Priest's mentor.
How wild would that be if, like...
Matt, that's right, not going to happen.
I know, but like right at the beginning of the match, of this match they've been like hyping up, they're like, wait a minute, we shouldn't be fighting, and they just walk out together.
I would like to thank Prediction Fought for reminding me that I have not, speaking of Damian by his proper name, which is Damian the Punishment Priest Martinez.
Yes.
You know what? I'm changing my, you know what? Prediction Bot convinced me. I am changing my prediction. Damien the Punishment Priest Martinez is going to win the United States Championship.
Wonderful.
And I don't know what's going to happen from there.
Next up is Edge versus Seth Rollins.
Yes.
I'm saying this on a downer, but like I'm pumped for this match. Edge's return has been fantastic. I love watching him. Mm-hmm. Seth Rollins, I've always been a huge fan. Not always. I've been a huge fan of him for a long time. His character is kind of in a weird place, but I really like the kind of back and forth these guys are having, and it's going to be a really good match.
Yo, Matt, do you love that Seth Rollins drip, though? Seth Rollins loves to talk about his drip.
I don't, is that what swag is now?
His drip is like his wardrobe.
Oh.
Because he has very over-the-top, super extravagant, super eccentric
I do clothing. Love his drip.
It's great. I grew a bit tired of Seth Rollins' Messiah character after a while.
That's because it, people kept getting fired and it had no direction.
It was because
it could have been great.
It could have been great. The whole thing with him and Murphy was really good.
Yes.
And then wasn't it also like, what are those guys called?
Wrestlers.
No, the two dudes from NXT that were the tag team with Paul
Jackson Allen. Riker.
No.
Authors of Pain.
Yeah, they were a part of it for a while. That was cool.
Remember when they were in WWE?
I sure do. So is Paul Ellering. But then it all fell apart.
Yes.
I like what's going on now. I like over the top, utterly ridiculous savior Seth Rollins in his stupid suits that are just perfect.
Yeah.
I love that. Like he's going at like he hates Edge. Like that makes sense to me. Edge came back after a decade away and is stealing what he thinks is his spotlight. Of course he's upset. So I'm there. And like these two can wrestle like crazy. So like I'm very much looking forward to this match.
Who are you calling it for?
I want to call it for Edge, but I think the wise choice is Seth Rollins. So I'm going to go with Seth, especially for this is the first of what I assume will be a few matchups.
Leading up to Survivor Series, I'd say.
Ooh, were they lead Team Rollins and Team Edge in a 5-on-5, maybe?
Oh, man. I'm going Seth Rollins on this. Seth Rollins needs a big, like a high profile win.
Mm.
And I think this is definitely going to be for him. And as always, Prediction Bot, what do you got?
On this day, I see clearly.
Oh, God.
Everything has come to life. A bitter place in a broken dream. And we leave it all behind. On this day, it's so real to me. Oh, everything has come to life. Another chance to chase a dream. Another chance to feel. Chance to feel alive.
It's like poetry, man. Thank you for this.
No, that's just the lyrics to Edge's theme song. He didn't actually say anything.
Come on, put some respect on that. It's Metalingus by Alterbridge.
Oh, I'm so sorry that I didn't say Metalingus. The best but also grossest name for a song.
You think you know me.
So I hope next month for the next Edge match, he does the lyrics to Edge's Rob Zombie song.
My Durango, Doe 95.
Think about this, Matt. Once upon a time, we lived in a society where Edge came to the ring to a song by Rob Zombie where he sings about driving a Dodge Durango.
What a world.
That's so stupid.
Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks for the SmackDown Women's Championship. I will say, I'm not as into this story as I was WrestleMania, but I am excited to see the match again because it's going to be a banger. And Sasha Banks is clearly a heel now as opposed to being like mild heel. Oh, we got the finger point.
This is why I am very into this. Sasha has gone hard heel, and I love it. Because, like, honestly, that's the best role for Sasha to be in. Yes. She's fantastic as a heel. She's one of the best heels in WWE, full stop. So, like, I am ready for this match. There, just like Bianca Sasha won, this is going to be in a packed stadium. No, in fact, this is like, this might even have more people than Mania because Mania had socially distanced seating.
And that's this isn't a stadium with none of that.
Yeah, this is a stadium in Nevada where there are no rules about anything.
And dude, think about this match.
Like, I will say this, you will be required to wear masks indoors.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out for how many people are just bucking the rules during a global pandemic.
A lot. I do want to say this. So Sasha Banks, clearly a heel here. Bianca Belair could not be more babyface, which I love because she pulls off babyface so well because she's like legit tough in the ring.
She's legit tough in the ring, but her character is just that of pure joy and happiness and excitement.
It's like an old school Bayley.
Yeah. Like I believe they refer to that in other eras as a solid white meat baby face.
Yes.
Like you are just joy, happiness. You're excited to be there. You're excited to perform for the fans. You're excited for your journey. And her journey is incredible. She's reached the top of the mountain. She's been women's champion for over 100 days and she's crushing it. And also she's one of the best women's wrestlers in She's one of the best wrestlers in WWE, period.
She is definitely up there on my list. Picking the winner for this match is kind of tough because, like, I feel like if you pick Bianca, it ends the Sasha Banks storyline, and I can see this continuing. However, I don't want the belt off of Bianca yet. So I feel it's going to go disqualification or something's going to happen that gives Sasha Banks the win, but she does not get the title, and we will get a rubber match.
I think Bianca is going to win and they'll go next to a Bianca, Sasha and one or two other people sort of dance.
Prediction bot, what do you got?
I'm feeling a real sense of deja vu here. Much like the deja vu I feel when I think about Colin Firth shirtless.
Oh God. Meow.
Anyway, Bianca Belair will retain her title. And Sasha Banks will lose her title of the boss and become mid-level management Sasha Banks. Technically, she's still a boss, but it's still a demotion.
Okay. Mid-level management Sasha Banks. I don't think he understands Sasha Banks' character at all. You okay, Chris? Meow. You look confused.
Meow.
He said, he did say meow after talking about Colin Firth.
When Prediction Bot starts talking about Colin Firth, I tune out.
Yeah.
Because, like, I've heard it. I've heard it so many times. We get it. You're attracted to Colin Firth. You want to date Colin Firth. We get it.
At least I don't know if you want to date him
as much as you just want to ogle him while he's shirtless, which is weird.
We're past the point where Prediction Bot is talking about Colin Firth shirtless constantly. So, like, we've made progress.
Is that what you call this? Progress?
Yeah.
Wow.
The Usos versus Rey and Dominic Mysterio for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. Meow.
Mm-hmm.
I love everything about this. I don't think Chris will agree with me. I mean, the Usos are great. Why? Love the Mysterios. I family tag team action. Who doesn't want to see that?
I'm stoked for this match. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Here's what I would like to see.
Yeah.
I would like to see the Mysterios regain the titles when Jay turns on Jimmy.
Oh, we have been waiting for that for so long, haven't
we? Yeah, let's do it, man. Let's do it in front of a crowd. Little, and plus that sets Jimmy up to be like a super sympathetic baby face.
Yep.
And also, like, because it feels like a very big downshift for Jey Uso in the last couple months as he's just kind of slid back into tag team mode when he'd been building a solid singles run.
Mm-hmm. And when was the last time the Usos were technically like babyface? I feel like it's when they were still like very...
when they're still wearing face paint and whatnot.
Face paint. I mean, there were moments when they were like the Uso Penitentiary where like they were face, but they were heel characters that the fans just turned on. You know, yeah. Like that wasn't really face to me.
Absolutely. I agree.
Anyway, I want the Usos to win so bad, but I like the idea of Jey turning on Jimmy. So I'm going to go Mysterios.
I'm going Mysterios, and I'm hoping, my fingers are crossed, that they come through that stupid portal again.
Through the portal, and also Rain has to be riding on Dominic's back. That's the only way I'll accept them as a tag team.
Here's what I would like. Remember the old Rey Mysterio entrance where he shot up out of the ground?
Oh, yeah. Booyaka, booyaka.
Yeah, I want them to put Dominic on that with Rey on his back and shoot them both up out of the ground simultaneously.
Oh, let us go to Prediction Bot, see what Prediction Bot has to say.
The Usos will become Dominic Guerrero's father. He will be Dominic Uso Guerrero Mysterio.
Apparently, Prediction Bot thinks this is a match for Dominic Mysterio to be Dominic Mysterio's father.
Does he know that Dominic's an adult now?
I don't know. Prediction Bot, how old do you think Dominic Mysterio is?
7.
Okay. Maybe that's younger than he was during the match, the ladder match with Eddie Guerrero.
It's entirely possible Prediction Bot listened a little too carefully to our San Diego Comic-Con action figure episode. Because didn't they reveal that like they're releasing a tiny Dominic Mysterio Guerrero figure that we're both going to get?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of which, as a follow-up on that episode before we move on,
yeah,
I definitely backed the New Generation Arena for way too much
money.
Yeah,
I'm a little jealous.
Oh, I'm going to get that sweet, sweet Macho Man, doink, a Kevin Nash thing that I'm going to try to flip on the internet because I don't want it. No offense to Big Sexy Cool. Big Daddy Cool, Big Sexy, whatever his name
is. I'm jealous and I don't want to hear about it.
I called him Big Sexy Cool. I just want to...
Yeah, you called TLC that's Kevin
crazy
Nash.
Sexy Cool.
Big Sexy Cool, Kevin Nash.
Don't go chasing diesel gas faults.
Bobby Lashley versus Goldberg. A match that has boring raw match all over it.
Yeah. You're right, Matt. It is a match. I mean, I'm assuming Lashley's going to win. Goldberg's not sticking around. Come on.
No more part-timers, except for John Cena. I'll take John Cena.
John Cena shows up every week for months on end.
And also, John Cena is fun to watch wrestle.
Yeah.
Goldberg, he was fun in WCW because he had the streak, but his matches never lasted more than a couple minutes. The streak is what, you know, made Goldberg a lot of fun. And I do like Goldberg. I just don't like him now. I don't want us to constantly pay homage to the Attitude Era, because the Attitude Era is, as I mentioned last week or earlier this week, we're three eras beyond the Attitude Era at this point. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Bobby Lashley.
And yep.
Prediction. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Chris. Do you have something to add?
Yep. No, I agree.
Okay. Prediction Bot.
This will be Goldberg's longest match of all time, lasting 3 minutes. Lashley wins.
Wait, what did he say at the end? I have friends?
What did you say, Prediction Bot, at the end?
Lashley wins.
Lashley wins. I thought he said this would be Goldberg's longest match ever, clocking in at 3 minutes. I have friends. And I was like, what? Is he getting defensive because we mocked him for his Colin Firth obsession?
I don't have friends.
Oh. You have family?
Nope. Nikki A.S.H. versus Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair for the Raw Women's Championship.
Gonna be a banger. Nikki is going to retain.
I am at the same point for you. I think Nikki is going to, and not just because we interviewed her, I think she's going to really elevate her game, quote unquote, in this match. We're going to see a new side of her because she's up against Rhea Ripley, who's all about her brutalita. And
this Charlotte, is my brutality.
And Charlotte Flair, who will do almost anything to win, you know, doesn't, you know, lie, cheat, steal, except she's not a Eddie Guerrero.
No, she's a Flair.
She's a Flair. Same
thing. So she'll woo and figure four leg lock and slap. It's not as catchy.
Yeah, I'm very much think that Nikki A.S.H. is going to win this out. I mean, it's no matter who wins the Raw Women's Champion. Well, for the most part, no matter who wins the Raw Women's Championship, it's going to be great. The match is going to be great. And the aftermath will be fine. I personally don't want the title back on Charlotte Flair, but that's because I like Charlotte Flair when she better when she doesn't have the title. She's kind of the character just works better without a title right now. When she has a title, I'm tired of the really super cocky like Charlotte Flair champion. Prediction about what do you got?
I'm out of here. I have a dinner to get to. Nikki wins.
All right. By prediction, bot. Prediction bot.
He doesn't have. He said he doesn't have friends. Who's he going to dinner with?
I mean, you don't always have to go to dinner with friends. You could just go to dinner.
Can you though?
Roman Reigns versus John Cena for the Universal Championship. But I'm pumped for this match.
Yeah.
This is
Cena and Roman have both been straight up fire this time, which is in contrast to their last feud, in which Cena promoed circles around Reigns.
Yes.
Reigns has held up his end of the bargain in a big, bad way this time. While also, John Cena has made some very convincing arguments for why he will become a 17-time Universal Champion. I love that he just flat out said, Roman, you're going to beat me up. I'm not going to beat you up. You're going to beat me up. You are the powerful one in this dynamic. I just need 3 seconds. That's it. That's such a smart, fun way to approach this.
Yeah.
He's not out to punish Roman Reigns. He's not out to physically dominate Roman Reigns. He's not out to hurt Roman Reigns. He just has to get him down for 3 seconds and then walk away. And that's it. I love that. That is a tactic I wish more wrestlers would play. I wish more wrestlers would play around with that idea.
I think that just shows that. I mean, I don't know who's writing for Cena or Cena's doing this on his own, but like it's smart on Cena's part to kind of play it off the way he's playing it off. Like it shows that like Cena can evolve a lot more than people give him credit for.
Absolutely.
And I really, really like the route that Cena's gone since he's returned. Yes, he's still kind of John Cena, but this is like a smart, strategic John Cena, which I don't think we've really gotten a lot of that from him. I mean, cause he's just, he's the opposite of Roman Reigns at the effort for this match, which is perfect. Cause you're kind of having these like opposites collide, SummerSlam bout, which I'm super duper into. So I'm excited for this. I think it's going to be Roman Reigns still. Because I kind of love the story of people like coming in to fight Roman Reigns. Cause like I'm a dominant champion. No one can beat me. And so someone special comes in to fight him and gets beaten. Because the Roman Reigns stuff for me has not gotten old by any means yet. It hasn't lost any of its flavor. So I think they should just keep playing this, keep Roman as champion.
Chris, this is where we're going to differ, Matt.
Yep.
I don't know who's going to win this match. What I do know is what's going to happen after this match. Big E is cashing in and becoming WWE Universal Champion.
Okay.
It's happening. Like that, that is... So, like, for a long time, I thought, ooh, first of all, giving Cena the 17th world championship, that is a fun idea. That makes him the winningest, quote unquote, winningest world champion of all time. Someone of his stature and his history, like, and especially his status within WWE, that makes perfect sense. But Cena also has to go off and shoot a movie. So he could win that 17th world champion, immediately get cashed in on by Big E.
Oh, they're
making and now Big E's the world champion.
And then we get Big E Roman Reigns, which.
And then we get Big E. Likewise, Roman could retain, be utterly depleted by his match with Cena, cue Big E coming to the ring. Big E is the new champion. So, like, when it comes to predictions on who is going to win Roman versus Cena, I don't know. I actually, like, I've thought about this so much, and I can see it going either way. And to the point where like I don't feel comfortable choosing one or the other.
Yeah.
I do, however, feel comfortable declaring that I think we're going to end the night with Big E as Universal Champion, though.
I'm going to continue with Roman, but I would also like to see, I'd love to see Big E. I don't know. And we're going to add one more match to this because we are most likely getting Big E versus Baron Corbin. I hope for the love of everything that's good in wrestling, the stipulation is not whoever wins gets the Money in the Bank contract. That should be Big E's.
That doesn't make sense. It's bad enough that The Miz won his in a trial last year. Like,
you, Baron Corbin stealing it. I've talked about this on Twitter a little bit. Baron Corbin stealing it for his character is brilliant. I love the idea that Baron Corbin's like in such a gutter and such a rut. He's like, well, I could steal this Money in the Bank thing and then I'll get a contract. But there needs to be a point on this week's SmackDown where they say, that's not how this works. You cannot do that, which then again will make him dig his own hole even deeper, which will, it will help his storyline more than anything else. You cannot have Baron Corbin keep this contract. I do not want there to be a stipulation where the match between Big E and Baron Corbin, which again has not yet been booked, there should not be a stipulation where the winner gets that contract. Mm-hmm. It should just be like Big E fighting Baron Corbin because Baron Corbin stole something from Big E.
Yeah, agreed.
And that's a match I would love to see. I want to see Baron Corbin constantly failing. And I love Baron Corbin. It's the best storyline in SmackDown right now. Sorry to everybody else. I want to continue to see it go, you know.
Yeah.
I would love to see King of the Ring come back and Baron Corbin go out the first round to like a real underdog. Like, that's how far I want this to go. So I would be picking Big E for that match if it exists. I'm pretty sure we're getting it.
Yeah.
At least a kickoff.
I think you're right.
Anyway, those are our predictions. Let us know what you think somewhere on the internet.
Yeah, let us know on the internet. Like when you rate and review us on Apple Podcast app, give us 5 stars.
That is it for this week. We'll be next week with something. I think we have it planned. I don't remember. I guess it'll just bring us to our final words for this week. Chris, you got any final words?
Doink the clown.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to Wrestle Buddies. We hope you had at least almost as much fun as we did. Go ahead and rate and review us on the Apple Podcast app. You can email us questions at WrestleBuddies@GameSpot.com or find us over on Twitter at WrestleBuddies. I am at Chris Hayner. He is at I'm Matt Elfring. See you next week.